Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Saxoft Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tushar from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities Limited, I welcome you all to Saxoft Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. The company is today represented by Mr. Aditya Krishna, Chairman and MD, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar Dhaliwal, COO and CFO. I would now like to hand over the call to the Managing Director of the company, Mr. Aditya Krishna, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining our Q4 and FY24 earnings call today. Let me first give you a brief introduction of Saxoft for the sake of some of the participants who may be new to the company. Saxoft is a digital transformation partner that assists its customers to automate, modernize, and manage IT systems through a combination of domain-specific technology solutions and solution accelerators from consulting to support. We have been in business for almost two decades now, with offices across 16 locations covering USA, Asia-Pacific, UK, and Europe. We have an associate strength of 2,000+. In a recent reorganization of our business, we have restructured our business into four business units, namely FinTech, High-Tech Media and Utilities, Transportation and Logistics, and Retail E-commerce. This will help us become more market-facing and more responsive to the demand of our existing customers and new logos. The interconnected nature of the verticals mentioned address a huge market, which also facilitates us to cross-sell and upsell service offerings to our clients. These verticals are supported by horizontal service offerings spanning analytics, cloud solutions, legacy modernization, intelligent automation, application engineering, and quality assurance. As a company, we offer a comprehensive suite of digital transformation services. Now, moving on to the quarter under review. Despite facing headwinds in the US market, I am pleased to report that we managed to grow our revenues on a year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margins remained stable for the quarter as we chose to invest more in strengthening our sales engine. For the full financial year ending 2024, we had a healthy revenue growth of 14% year-on-year with a strong EBITDA and bottom line growth. As part of the go-to-market strategy, the company is further investing in frameworks across verticals. Now, I would request our Group CFO and COO, Neeraj, to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Aditya, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me start off by giving you the financial highlights, followed by the operational highlights. For the fourth quarter of the financial year 2024, the revenues were reported at around 195 crore rupees, representing a growth of 7% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at rupees 33 crores, which grew about 3% year-on-year, with the reported EBITDA margins of around 17.14%. The net profit for the quarter was around rupees 23 crores, which declined 7% year-on-year, with PAT margins at 11.9%. The decline in PAT is only on account of the increased tax outflow in certain of our geographies. For the financial year 2024, revenues were reported at around rupees 762 crores, representing a growth of about 14% year-on-year. The EBITDA was almost rupees 137 crores, which grew by around 26% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins being at 17.95%. The net profit stood at rupees 96 crores, which grew by 17% year-on-year, with the PAT margins reported at 12.63%. During the year 2024, the Americas contributed 42% of our revenues, Europe contributed 24%, while the remaining 34% came from Asia-Pacific and other regions. Few of our top customers having a global MSA have started global capacity centers in India, and this has triggered the movement in revenue between Americas to Asia-Pacific and other regions. The on-site revenue mix was 45% and offshore is at 55%. The revenue split across business verticals for the financial year 2024 is as follows. FinTech contributed 34%, high-tech media and utilities 30%, transportation and logistics contributed to 13%, with healthcare and digital commerce contributing 10%, and the balance 14% from the others. The reporting of the revenue contribution by the reorganized verticals will be commenced from the next earnings call update. Now coming to some customer metrics, we have 15 customers of over USD $1 million revenue and 9 customers of USD $500 million to $1 million. Our total employee count at the end of the quarter stood at 2,053, out of which 1,838 were technical, with the utilization level of the employees excluding trainees being at 83% for the financial year 2024. The bank balance as at 31st March 2024 stood at 207 crore rupees. This concludes the updates for the quarter and for the financial year, and we can now open the floor for the Q&A question.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad, and please wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Our first question comes from the line of Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
My first question is, we haven't, unless I missed something, we still haven't got the investors' presentation, which I was hoping to get along with the results. So, what is the practice? Are we getting it? Are we not getting it? And it's not on the company's website till about 10 minutes back.
Because it just got sent out probably 30 minutes back, and the update would have been a little late, which is why you have not received it. We'll ensure that next time onwards it's given much earlier. But it's already been released and should be in your mailbox and on the company's website by now.
Oh, very well. Thank you. That was first question. The second question was, are we, because I haven't, and many of us on this call today may not have the privilege of going through this thing. So let us for a minute assume that, you know, we haven't seen it and many others may not have seen it. What are our, how's the coming year looking? You know, we had a $500 million goal for 2030. Just a back of envelope calculation means that we need to grow at a CAGR of about 30% per annum going forward. Like many other companies do, do we get some kind of guidance on EBITDA and the current year going forward, and some light on the order book, client acquisitions, pipeline? I'm assuming some of it may be there, may not be there in the investor's presentation, but any information on these areas on this call will be very helpful.
Sure. Hi, Vikas. This is Aditya. We have finished at 761 crores. You know, this is March of last year. This year, we are aiming for 1,000 crores. Now, we normally don't give guidance, but since you asked, this is our plan. To move the business to 1,000 crores at the end of 24-25. It's a difficult task, okay, because there are a lot of headwinds in the U.S. Secondly, we are investing a lot in people and infrastructure so that we can scale to the 500 million or 4,000 crore target by 2030. You know, you're a very seasoned person, so you know that everything takes time, you know, and unless we put the building blocks in place, growth will always be a challenge. So, you know, we're making those investments, number one. Number two, the expense always comes before the revenue, you know, so we have to be careful because we have to live quarter by quarter. So keeping everything in mind, we are very bullish that we will get to our goal of 500 million. I've always maintained that it won't be a straight line growth. It won't be linear growth. There will be bumps along the way. There will be air pockets. But very clearly, the ambition is there. We are putting the building blocks in place. We have reorganized the business, you know, into four business verticals. So now, instead of having a geography structure, we are going to be reorganized business vertical-wise. So each business vertical of fintech, transportation logistics, high-tech media and utilities, and retail e-commerce will have its own sort of CEO or business leader who will make sure that not only existing customers' business grows, but also new logos are prospected in these spaces. Now, you mentioned about pipeline. The investor presentation doesn't have pipeline, but what I can share with you is that approximately 90% of our 1,000 crores is targeted to come from existing customers, existing projects, and existing customers, new projects. And 10% from new customers, new projects. So, the targets are in place, the targets are account-wise. Each account has an account manager and a delivery manager depending on the size of the account. And we are moving the company forward. So rest assured, we are on the job, number one, and motivated and driven towards our goal.
Thank you, Aditya. Just two, three comments here and a few more follow-up questions. One, of course, was, why do we live quarter on quarter? That's not the message, at least as a shareholder, that's not what I want. So I think, when shareholders invested, he's invested for the long term. My issue was not on the EBITDA margin. You said is about 17 point something here. So there will be economies of scale as you move from 761 to 1,000 crores, which is an ambitious target. It is almost a 30% growth in year and over, which is very encouraging and ambitious. But what I'm saying is that you will make more investments, but there has to be a time where you should be expecting a time where we at least go on even keel. If you're 17, I'm not saying it will jump to 20, but is there a range? Is there a guidance on where are we looking at the EBITDA going forward? Are we looking at? And surely with that kind of growth on the top line, even if we invest, we are not looking at a dip in EBITDA is what I would presume. But just common mental calculation tells me that one shouldn't be looking at a dip. So is there a range? And why doesn't the company consider going forward for the benefit of its shareholders to give a range? To give a range of what you feel is growth, a range of EBITDA, and, you know, it could be conservative, it could be cautious. But is it something which you would like to consider going, that was question number one. B, would you throw some light on your client? What I can see is that we are growing massively or from existing clients and 10%. What is your outlook on client concentration risk?
Okay.
So two questions there, really.
Yeah. So on EBITDA margin, because the current EBITDA margin is around 18%, 17.9 to be precise.
Okay.
For this year, we are aiming to keep it around the same level. You know, there will be a dip of maybe, you know, dip or increase by maybe 25 basis points up and there, down or up, but I can't see us, beating this 18% significantly.
Got it.
Okay, because few things. One, salary increments are there. We make a lot every year from rupee depreciation. I think that's a little bit there's a lot of uncertainty around that. So the headwinds are there in the US, which prevent us from increasing pricing significantly. And as we grow, and I know a lot of investors don't like this, but as we grow, we might have to, accept business at lower margins in the hope that we will improve margins over time with that customer. So all this, acceleration towards growth, we want to make sure that we are not so much margin driven as we are growth driven. So all these factors would probably keep us in this 18% range. Now, coming to your second question on client concentration, we have roughly 80% of our revenue coming from our top 25 accounts. So there is client concentration to that extent. I'm not concerned about it because no one client is more than, 25% or 20%. So there's no huge customer which will impact us, if we lose that customer. But yes, there is the 80-20 rule, for sure. The only way to beat that is, to get out of this, to become a significantly larger player, which is the goal.
Got it. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah, and you mentioned about quarter to quarter. See, Vikas, everybody is not as an evolved investor as you are. Most of the market doesn't understand that. You have to invest to grow. So it's a tightrope which we have to always live with. And believe it, it really keeps me up. How do we invest in what we have to do to grow the business and still have decent results? Which is why you've seen in the last 3-4 quarters, we've been very tepid growth because we're trying to ride that balance.
Aditya, we would agree to disagree there. At the end of the day, living quarter by quarter puts undue pressure on the management. And you also compromise on long-term growth sometimes. And you miss opportunities. So I guess that's a call management needs to take. That's your call and the management needs to take that. Is it pressure which is to the detriment of the long-term investor? If that is not the case, it is okay. But if you're compromising long-term goals for short-term higher 1% margin, then, I at least principally would not agree with that. But anyway, that's a call you need to take. I understand, you have a larger audience to look after. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thanks, Vikas.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Hiloni Gandhi from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi. So I saw that our interest costs have gone up significantly in the last 2 quarters. So just wanted to know what's the specific reason behind it.
Hiloni, there's a interest component which is in relation to some of the leases which get accounted under the Ind AS. We had a couple of new lease renewals which had happened.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
More of an accounting.
Accounting.
Yes, okay. It's more of an accounting and less of an actual interest outflow because our loans are, we don't have any borrowing or
issues. We don't have any loans and we have a lot of cash also on hand. So yeah, got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our next question comes from Sunil Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Sunil, sir, please go ahead, sir. There is no response from Sunil's line. We have a follow-up question from Vikas Srivastav from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Aditya, how has been our experience on the new hiring on the sales front? Have we lost some people who we hired in the last 2 years? Is there been any attrition there? How has been our experience on the new sales team which we have hired in the last 2-3 years? That was one. B, I was wanting a little bit of a flavor on to what level are you giving stock options to employees in India and abroad? And what is the value? I'm assuming, you know, for the last 1.5-2 years, the stock's been, you know, in this range. Is the value of stock options and therefore as a consideration, compensation, is it losing its charm? Are you facing any resistance or frustration there?
Sure, Vikas. As far as the sales team is concerned, we haven't lost anybody. Whoever we have hired has stayed, is so far with us. We have one new salesperson joining in California on the 6th of June, and we have another one joining in the New York area on the 17th of June. So, we continue to build the sales team. We have one salesperson relocating from our Singapore office to New York. We have a new sales guy joining our London office on the 3rd of June. So lots of action on the sales team, and so far nobody's left us, you know. And honestly, because my biggest job is to make these guys successful, because if I can get the sales guys to be successful, one, the company will grow, and second, they won't leave us. You know, so I spend a lot of my time on that, and it's challenging because, you know, new people have high expectations. They want everything to be there, and you know, patience with younger people is also missing. So it's a nice challenge to have. So it's really keeping me busy. On the second question on the stock option, what has become pretty much standard is, you know, the salespeople, to attract them, especially senior sales talent, we have to offer them options as part of their joining. So they will get options anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 options when they join. There is still a lot of merit and value in that, because they will get it at market price. And obviously, if they do their job and the company grows, those options will be worth a lot of money. You know, and that's how we sell it. And that aligns with the goals of growing the business. And they have to also align with that. So I don't think the option thing, the charm has gone away. In fact, I would say it's probably more favorable now. You know? We have never shared this on earnings calls, but since you asked, our option plan is 25% of the options that is allotted to an individual vests every year. And he has a 10-year window to exercise it. So it's an attractive option. From an accounting perspective, we use Black-Scholes to account for it. And currently, the last allotment, the price that hit our P&L was 160 rupees per option. So, bottom line, I think there's still a lot of value in these options.
Got it. Okay, that's it for me, Aditya. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Vikas. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Simar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So hi. So I'm pretty happy to hear that on the sales front you haven't lost anyone. But just to give me a number on the attrition on the overall company level.
Attrition is down considerably. We are currently running at 14%.
14%. That is considerably down from the 22%, I believe, in one of your previous calls, which I was attending. So, yeah.
Yeah, correct.
All right. So, and so going forwards with the 1,000 crore that you mentioned for the next for the current financial, which where you mentioned 900 would be from the existing clients, which is very optimistic, which is very, very, very optimistic. So I'm pretty sure that your retentions are very high. So which front do you see on the different segments that the revenue is going to be contributed from?
A lot of growth will come from high-tech, media and utilities and fintech. Those are the big two segments. Transportation logistics is struggling a bit because there's a lot of consolidation post-COVID in the U.S. geography. So because of that, there's uncertainty. Customers are deferring spending. But it's temporary because, by and large, transportation and logistics has underinvested in technology over the past years and has to catch up. Okay, so it's a temporary blip in terms of slowdown. Our fourth segment of retail e-commerce, that's a hot segment. Unfortunately, deals there take longer because they're larger deals and the buying cycle is probably the longest compared to high-tech, media and utilities and fintech. But to answer your question, majority of the growth will come from the first two, fintech and high-tech, media and utilities.
Got it. And one more question. So, since you recently hired a couple of new salespeople abroad, I'm pretty much assuming that your revenue contribution from overseas would be a larger chunk, even for more so than 60%. Would it be fair to assume that?
Yeah, yeah. So 45% is from the US, 35% is from Europe, and the rest is from Asia Pacific, which is predominantly Singapore and India.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. That'll be all, and all the best going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Amit Jain from Monarch. Please go ahead.
Hi, Amit.
Hello. Hello, Aditya. How are you?
Good, good.
Okay. So, Aditya, a couple of questions. One on the outlook for the current year, FY25. So, other companies have given a very tepid growth outlook, in fact, very muted, and even the campus hirings, the data that we are seeing, placement data from the campuses, that also suggests that things are not so good. So in that, against that backdrop, the growth outlook, the growth guidance of 30%, I assume that's the aspiration, but even that, that's a very audacious one. So what makes you so convinced, or I would say, to give you this kind of outlook? Secondly, on the capabilities front, you mentioned about the investing in the building blocks. So I can understand one on the sales personnel. Besides that, what other things we are doing in terms of the building, investing in those capabilities? So just want to get some sense about that. And there are a couple, one or two questions, but maybe we can, I can come again, but if you can just throw some light on this.
Good questions, Amit. 1,000 crores is a ambitious target, but you know, if we don't aim high, we are not going to get to where we need to go. You know, there is, you know, being a 20-year-old company, there is an element of lethargy in the organization which has to go away. You know, we all have to sell, you know, and today one of my big challenges is to change the culture to a growth-oriented culture where not only one downs to me, but two downs and three downs to me sell. Everybody should be part of the selling community. So what we have done is we have broken up targets by delivery managers, by account managers, by salespeople, you know, within each account. And this mindset has to change. And the mindset will not change if numbers are not ambitious and aggressive. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we are ruthless in terms of firing people and, you know, all that. We can still be a good work culture, a respectful work culture, but also expect a lot from our people. And that's the goal. So, you know, It's not even the end of first quarter. It's going to be a tough year, yes. But, you know, we're going to aim high. You know, that's our plan. You know, and that's why the 1,000 crores. I was not wanting to share it actually, but since Vikas asked, and Vikas has always been a long-term investor and a well-wisher, you know, I felt I owe it to him to share it, and also with you, Amit. So, coming to the next question, which is a very good question from a capability perspective, because, you know, technology is changing so rapidly that unless we invest in capability, so it's not only sales. See, sales guys can only do so much. Finally, you have to have something to sell. Okay, something to identify. They can identify a business need at a customer or a prospect, but then you need the team and the people to be able to translate that business need to a technology solution. And that is where capability comes in. So we are investing in subject matter experts in these four verticals of fintech, high-tech media utilities, retail, e-commerce, and transportation logistics. So subject matter experts is a big investment. That's number one. Number two, we're investing a lot in cybersecurity and infrastructure, in cloud ops, in FinOps. As you would have seen, cloud consumption is increasing. The business model of Azure and AWS is to make sure customers, it's like a drug. Once you get hooked on it, you have to consume it. So they want customers to consume more and more of cloud. Now, we have to come in and say, how can you rationalize that consumption? So that's where FinOps and CloudOps comes in. So a lot of new things we are doing in the infrastructure space, a lot of new things we're doing in the cybersecurity space, which we feel are necessary today to address the business needs of our existing customers as well as new prospects.
Understood. Aditya, if I listen correctly, you mentioned that about the revenue breakup. So 90% business comes from the existing customers, 10% from the new customer. Am I right in that?
That's correct, yes.
So is that the, sharing or this proportion, are you satisfied or you want this new customer, share of new customer to grow? So what is the ideal scenario for you?
This 90-10 is pretty much standard across the industry. So if you ask a TCS or an Infosys, 90 might be 85-15 or 90-10. It'll be approximately the same. The reason why that is, Amit, is that when you acquire a new customer, he will not spend a lot of money in the first 12 months. First of all, if you acquire a customer, let's say we acquire a customer in quarter one, by the time paperwork finishes, project starts, you're already talking, you know, you've got 9 months left. Okay, now, in 9 months, how much business will he give you? He'll try and check you out first. Is your quality good? Are we meeting the expectations? Do we understand his business? Do we understand his business challenges? So that relationship building will take some time. So it's normally at least, I would say, 18 months to 24 months before a customer starts to scale up, a new customer. So it's pretty much standard to have a 90-10 ratio.
Have a higher client concentration. So in that context, I was asking, maybe to improve that part, maybe to reduce our dependence on top 20 to 25. In this context, I was asking that are we aiming for a higher share from our new customers? But that's understood what you proved. Another thing on the just a confirmation. That as we grow, as we are targeting this $500 million by 2030, so are we going to will we maintain this ROE/ROIC? Because I'm just slightly concerned, maybe in that pursuit of achieving that, maybe we may compromise on those metrics. So just want your just an affirmation that we will be maintaining the same profile going forward as well.
Over time, medium to long term, Amit, EBITDA margins and margins should improve because of scale. We are not going to take business at a loss or do things which are going to be detrimental to the bottom line. Yes, what I mentioned earlier, we have to be careful about our EBITDA margins, live quarter on quarter. But we are very hopeful that we will not go below the 18% EBITDA margin which is there today.
Thank you so much, Aditya, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Vikas Srivastava from RBC Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, Aditya. I'm back. Just give me your view on the challenges and opportunities which the general AI frenzy would throw up for the company, and are there any opportunities there? How do you look at it, or it doesn't touch you in your business?
Because AI is everywhere. Every customer, every prospect wants to talk about AI. How many use cases actually are there? It's a handful. And the use cases, are they really AI or are they machine learning or a combination? You know, it's a big question mark. So to answer your question, you know, straight off is, whenever we are talking to a prospect today, he says, you know, can AI help me in this journey? Can AI help me in solving this business problem? And we always say that, yes, we can explore that option. For example, can AI help in automation of testing, in writing test scripts? It sure can, but it also means that some human being has to vet that test script, that test case. So the AI can do a lot of the grunt work, but then human beings are required to definitely vet it for accuracy. So AI is definitely contributing to interesting conversations. For us, it has no long, I mean, except for a very, maybe a couple of cases, it's not translated to revenue yet, because.
Any challenges you see?
On the AI front or generally?
No, AI front. Anything we should worry about?
No, I don't think we need to worry about it, because there's too much unknown. Okay, and AI is just a new name, in my opinion, right now for machine learning, because the intelligence has still not come in. You know, one day intelligence will come in. When it does, we'll have to figure out how it affects our industry. But at this point, I don't see AI as a huge revenue challenge. I find it as probably a demand generator. Companies that probably were not wanting to talk are now interested to talk or have a conversation around AI. And that's the start, because if you can start these conversations with prospects and customers, eventually it translates into business.
And any productivity improvements or cost savings internally, is there something you could feel or sense on that?
Yes, we can definitely use AI to write certain basic code. We can use AI to help us in recruitment. We can use AI in our knowledge and training modules, you know, in document management. So there is a lot of productivity improvements that we can derive from AI, for sure. And we are doing that.
And therefore, some of it in the coming years, it could have a material impact on our margins?
Yes, it should. Over time, we should see some improvement in margins. But like I said, you know, there, it's not going to be like 1 or 2%. It'll be basis points, Vikas, and it probably get offset by something else, you know, either rupee appreciation, you know, or some other headwind, you know, who knows. I don't see it being a radical mover of the EBITDA margin.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to the management for closing comments.
We thank everyone for taking out time to participate in this call and for their interest in SACSoft. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other queries, please reach out to us on our investor relation advisors, Valorem Advisors. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ventura Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may all disconnect your lines now.